Well, today's Sunday, June the 6th, 2021, and if you would, please take your Bibles and go to Jeremiah chapter 29. If you were here last Sunday, we were considering the written Word of God, that which God had written for us, and that God's written Word is very profitable, and that our opinion of God's written Word is very important, and that we should also continue, keep growing and learning God's Word, because rightly understanding the Scriptures gives us and shows us what's right to believe. And so, in the pages of this book, the Bible, we discover a very loving and kind God who desires to bless our lives. And that is so encouraging when we pray. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. A very familiar verse in Jeremiah chapter 29. The context of this is part of a letter that God had Jeremiah write and send to the captives in Babylon. Not a very fun thing to go through when an army comes into town and marches you on foot, whatever, 600-800 miles away to a completely different country. It wasn't exactly what you were expecting, you know. You want to talk about having a bad day. You know, it turned into a bad 70 years, really. But anyway, if you can read the whole letter in this chapter 29, but one of the things that he said to them is what I wanted to look at in verse 11. It's a, I'm sure, familiar verse. For I know, 29:11, Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Really cool, because this is a letter that came from Jeremiah, and he specifically said, these are the thoughts that God thinks about you. So what does God think about you? I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, that you would have hope. The NIV translates it, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. In the English Standard, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, welfare means something different today than it did when the Bible was written. Wow, God wants me to have welfare. Doesn't sound very good. But it means that you fare well, that your life is going really well. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Our loving God desires to bless us, to bless our lives, and to give us hope in this life. We have a great hope in the life to come, but God would like for us to be blessed in this life. And he tells us in Isaiah chapter 57, if you go there. Isaiah 57, and in verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. Well, that's pretty good. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Notice that humble is twice in that verse. Contrite means crushed. Revive, the basic meaning of revive is to live, to have life. This would be to restore life, whether that would be, you know, from sickness, from discouragement, from fainting, to restore, to revive. Bring back to living life again prosperously. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a crushed and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the crushed ones. So how beneficial is that for us to remember that when we pray? That's God's desire, to revive us, to restore us. Isn't that encouraging to remember that when we pray? Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. This whole psalm is a great psalm of deliverance. I'd like to look at verse 17. Psalm 34, 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Like that song that we sang a little bit ago. Every moment of the day, my Father cares for me, that he hears me when I call. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears. God hears when we cry and delivers them out of all their troubles. So it doesn't matter what kind of troubles you're having, mental, physical, whatever. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Doesn't matter. Big, small, complicated. It doesn't matter. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. God is not far away from us. He's near to those who are of a broken heart, and that broken there means like a shipwreck. Ever felt like your life is a shipwreck sometimes? Ever been in that situation? Maybe you have. God is near those who are of a broken or a shattered heart, and he saves such as be of a crushed spirit. So, again, how encouraging it is to remember these things when we go to God in prayer, when we pray, especially in those times when we're facing adversity, to remember that God is near when we're hurting, very near. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Wow. God hears us. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 16:9, we could look at that. Probably another familiar verse, but in light of what we're looking at this morning, Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. First part of that verse, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Show himself strong. In Psalm 34, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. His ears are open to our cries. And his eyes run to and fro looking for us, to show himself strong for us. Now, we can read those words and choose to believe them, right? And when we do, does that not give us confidence when we pray? That God is looking to show himself strong in our behalf, right? God is listening to us whenever we pray. He doesn't miss a word when we pray. You know, I mean, if you've had children, sometimes that, you know, they'll talk 100 miles an hour and you go, wait a minute, what were you saying? Or sometimes we're preoccupied and we don't even hear them. Every word we say to God, he hears. His ears are open to our cries. That's why Kathy and I try to teach our children to when they would go, "Oh my God," we would say, "Are you praying?" "Well, what do you mean? You just said, 'Oh my God.'" His ears are open to our prayers. So, you know, maybe you want to say, "Oh my word," or "Oh my goodness," or what. But God's, let's have some reverence for God, right? So God is looking for us and listening to us. Why? To show himself strong. And if I forget that, if I forget that he is looking to show himself strong, that he's near to me when I'm hurting, if I forget those things, my prayer might turn into just going through the motions. Well, I better pray. See, when we pray to remember these things, look at, we're going to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to take a quick stop in chapter 3 because it's on the way. All right. When God talked to Moses, calling Moses to deliver the children of Israel, God said to Moses, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." I know their sorrows. God knows when we're hurting. And I love that because he told Moses, "I've seen what's going on and I've heard their cries." God sees and he hears. So God is near to those that are hurting. His desire is to help, to restore, to show himself strong. If we're not convinced of that, how confident are we going to be when we pray? But how much more confident we could be by remembering those things, that God's near, that God hears, that he's looking to show himself strong, that he wants to deliver us, that he wants to give us hope, he wants to restore us, he wants to revive us. Doesn't that give us confidence when we pray? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, same thing we read in Psalm 34. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." Mm-hmm. "Face of the Lord's against them that do evil." God is listening for us. So in chapter 5 of 1 Peter, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." This is really interesting. And humility doesn't mean you have no confidence at all. "I'm nothing. I'm a worm. I'm just a dirt ball somewhere. I'm just nothing." That's not humility. Humility is really the absence of being prideful. You know, prideful is, you know, "I'm just so smart. I've got it all figured out." Egotistical might be another way of saying pride. Humility is the opposite of being prideful or egotistical. When, you know, when it's all about you. And you know what? If you think about it, it's really egotistical to say, "I'm nothing. I'm just a mud puddle somewhere. I'm no good. I don't amount to anything." Where's all the attention? I. Kind of a fake humility there. How could we ever say we're no good? We're bought and paid for. God Almighty paid the highest price for us. We are children of the Most High God. If God be for us, who can be against us? So we have a lot of great blessings, rights, privileges, and abilities, and that all came from God. And I don't care how smart a person is, everything we have really is a result of God anyway. You could take someone who's very intelligent. Did they build their own brain? Where'd the brain come from to begin with? From God. Humility means low. You don't puff yourself up and be self-righteous and egotistical. In fact, back up just a bit to James chapter 4. Keep your finger here, coming right back. In James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." That's James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So back in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, "Be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble." I think it's in Matthew when Jesus Christ said, "He that exalts himself will be humbled, and the humble will be exalted." So what we looked at before we got to 1 Peter is true. Those things that we looked at, right? God is looking. God is listening. God is near. God knows our sorrows. God is looking to show himself strong in our behalf. He wants to bless us. He wants to help us. But we read here that God resists those who are proud or haughty, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." So humility in verse 5, humble in verse 5. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Those who are not humble exalt themselves. And it's really noteworthy that this humility stuff comes up in the context that's about to follow concerning prayer. So when we speak to God, we ought to go to God with great reverence, great respect, great awe, great honor to him, great praise, great thanksgiving. He is God. He is God Almighty. So verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." The reason we cast our cares on him is because he's listening always. Hears every word. We cast our cares upon him because he's looking for us. God's looking for us and he's listening to us. And he wants to show himself strong in our behalf. And he's near to us when we're crushed, when we're broken down, when we're going through things. He knows our sorrow. He wants to revive. He wants to restore. Why would we not cast our cares upon him? See how beneficial remembering those things about God, how it affects our prayer life. When we go to God with great humility, giving him the reverence that he deserves, we read that he gives grace to the humble. And there's in this verse 7, there's two different words for care. Casting all your care, that care is mental distractions, being stressed out, if you will. We cast all that stuff on him because he cares, or he's very concerned for you. Isn't that just almost mind-blowing to think that the creator of the heavens and the earth cares about you? He's very concerned about you. I don't know about you, but that in itself is pretty humbling, isn't it? That God would care about me, care about you. I was teaching last night, Phoenix Rescue Mission, and teaching on healing. And I mentioned that verse where Jesus went into the house and Peter's mother-in-law was laying there sick of a fever, and he touched her, and then she got healed immediately. A fever. You know, you read all these great records in the Bible about, you know, blind people, lame people, leprous people, people mentally just deranged, dead people being raised, all these things, and a fever? Why would God care about a fever? I mean, you know, it'll run its course, right?
Wow.
A fever. You read this. "Casting all your care upon him, he cares for you, even if you have a fever." So when we pray, especially in those times when things are not going well, especially in those times, you know, when we're facing challenges, whether they're mental, whether they're physical, whatever it is we're going through, how beneficial is it for us to remember the written word of God and remember these things that God does care for us? God is looking for us and he's listening to us to show himself strong. God is near to those who are hurting. His desire is to help, to revive, to restore those who are shipwrecked or those who are crushed or broken. And so we come to God with humility. We're humble. We're reverent. We're not disrespectful to God. Remember what it says about Job? In all the stuff that Job went through, he never charged God foolishly. He was at a pretty low point. You can read some of those verses where he's like, I should just die. I mean, he got pretty low. But he never charged God foolishly. Never did. So we can cast our cares, our concerns, our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Verse 8, be sober. And, you know, that's more than being intoxicated with alcohol. It means to have whole thoughts, think sound thoughts, which is pretty hard to do if you're intoxicated. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. There is an adversary. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, right way of believing, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. From Walter Cummins' working translation, verse 9 says, resist him, being firm in the right way of believing, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by members of your brotherhood in the world. You're not the only one going through a difficult time.
It's only me. No one's ever had to go through this ever.
No. So we resist him, being firm in the right way of believing, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by members of your brotherhood in the world. And then comes this wonderful verse 10. But the God of all grace. Oh yeah, I remember now. He gives grace to the humble. Ah, cool. The God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Boom. Boom. In the working translation, he puts it like this. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, will himself fully equip, establish, strengthen you, and give you a firm foundation. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? It's kind of like that first verse we looked at. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Give you peace, not evil, to give you an expected end, to give you hope. How does this not give us hope in going through things in life? Perfect means to mend or repair what is broken, to equip you, to furnish you, to make you complete. It's our loving God who can mend and repair anything that's broken. Mental, physical, doesn't matter. It's God who can equip and furnish you and make you complete. That's that word perfect. Remember what we read in Isaiah at the beginning? That God is, I'm the high and holy place with, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that's of a contrite and humble spirit to revive, restore the spirit of the humble and to revive or restore the heart of the contrite one. That's what perfect is, to mend or repair what's broken. Establish means make you stable, establish you, set you on firm ground. Strengthen means give you the strength that you need. And settle, give you a firm foundation. Wow. And see, this comes right after casting all our cares upon him because he cares for us. The work of the thief is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. to break you, to knock you down, to take away your strength, to unsettle you, to make your life miserable. That's what he does. But we are to resist steadfast in the right way of believing. And we remember that God's listening to us. He's looking for us to show himself strong, to give grace to the humble, to mend or repair what's broken, to set us on firm ground, give us the strength that we need, and to establish us on a firm foundation. Boy, remembering some of those things when we go to God in prayer, doesn't that give you a little more confidence to talk to God, knowing this is what he said? I mean, it'd be nice if we made it up. God, I wish you could do it. Yes, he can. He said he would. And that's why I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching that last week we talked about how important the written word is, how profitable it is to us. And so when we go to God in prayer, remembering who he is and what he said he would do for us and his great love and desire for us, it really can enrich our prayer life and give us confidence. Verse 10 again. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, I'd say amen to that, wouldn't you? So when we pray, how encouraging to remember that no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're faced with, it is God who can fully equip you. It is God who can establish you. It is God who can strengthen you. And it's God who can give you the firm foundation that you need. That's what he said. I want to believe it. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, good, kind, wonderful Heavenly Father, how we just sometimes just are stand in awe, Father, of your great words that you had written to us. And that, Father, by believing your words, we certainly can access your great grace, your great help. Thank you for hearing us when we pray, and Father, for always looking for us as your eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show yourself strong. Thank you for being a good God, a kind God, a loving God, and for having given us so many great promises in your word, for revealing yourself to us. And we're so grateful for the completed work of Jesus Christ that we could be your sons and daughters by birth. And the great hope that we have to look forward to, that Father, one day your Son Jesus Christ is coming back. And so we so look forward to that day. We have such a great hope for when he comes back. But Father, we're not hopeless now or helpless. Thank you for continuing to have your ears open to our prayers so that we could cast all our cares upon you. Thank you for caring for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, I just want to go somewhere and pray. This teaching will be posted on my website a little later this afternoon. Unless the Lord returns, we'll be back here again next week in this room and then also on the phone line. For those of you on the phone line, thanks for joining us. I'm going to disconnect now, and we're going to hang out here and fellowship with one another and be blessed to be with each other, be blessed to encourage one another, and just love one another. So, thanks for being here. God bless you all.